I often say, and today is certainly no exception, that I can think of no better place on the first day of the week than to be among God's people to worship God in spirit and in truth. You're always an encouragement to me, and I hope that that goes both ways, that we encourage one another. You could have been elsewhere this morning, but you decided to get up and to get yourself ready, many of you, after you've had just long days at work and many of you not feeling well. And still you got up, got yourself ready, got the kids ready, and you came to be among God's people to worship God. That's encouraging. The service is just encouraging, from the announcements to the leading of the singing and the prayers. And we just appreciate so very much each and every one of you. I appreciate my brother and sister-in-law Tammy for being here. Brianna, glad that they're with us this morning as always. And again, just appreciate each one of you. I'd be amiss if I did not say, and he feels the same way, that we appreciate your words of encouragement and concern, and the prayers that you've had before our mother's passing, that you've been praying for her, that she'd have recovery. And sometimes it's just so many things go wrong with these bodies that we just can't pull through. But your prayers have just been such an encouragement to us. Appreciate all your kind words and your expressions of care. So many of us, is there anything to be done? And there's not. Just really nothing to be done. Just the fact to know that you're there if we need you, that's enough. And we appreciate that very much. I put the title on the board before you, Rejoice in the Lord, from Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 3. And there are, I assure you, there are all kinds of things that you could put under a title, Rejoice in the Lord. And I think about all the things that, outside of specifically what the Bible says that we can rejoice in, the things that we are thankful for, the things that we ought to be prayerful to God and thankful to God that He has blessed us from one day to the next, that we can truly rejoice. And it's a word that is akin to the word happy, but not happy as so much as we use the word, because many times as we think about happiness, we think about circumstance. We think about things that bring us happiness tied to the circumstance that we are in. But I assure you that a Christian can be joyous, happy, rejoice, even in the midst of trials, difficulties, and hardships that come upon us. And I'm thankful to God for that. But you could just latch onto this statement, in the Lord, and just do a sermon about things that the Bible says about being in the Lord. There's a lot of things that the New Testament talks about that being in the Lord, that belong to the children of God. Spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and then verse 27. So there's a lot of things that the Bible says is in the Lord. And Paul is writing to these Christians, the Christians at Philippi, and he tells them to rejoice in the Lord. I want to encourage all of us that regardless of what our circumstance is, we need to rejoice. Because I assure you, you don't have to look too far as you look around you, and you'll always find a circumstance that someone's going through that is more difficult than the one you're going through. And I can say the same. That regardless of how bad we think we've got it, there are other people who have it worse. And there are other people who have went through similar circumstances and situations. And we know that to be the case. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and other passages that talk about just a difficulties that come upon us. But we have every reason to rejoice in the Lord. And I know that it's an important topic. If it was just mentioned one time in the Bible, it would be important. But when you look at the word rejoice, and I'm not talking about its variations like rejoiced, past tense, rejoicing, on an ongoing basis. But just rejoice is found 183 times in the Bible. If it were just mentioned one time, it would be important, but over and over the Bible talks about rejoice. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 26 and in verse 11, the children of Israel are told to rejoice of all the things that God gave in their hand. When you think about what God has given into our hand today, we have every reason, as I said, to rejoice. And I've often told people, if you take one piece of paper out and begin to write down, sometimes we sing the hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you begin to list the ways in which God has blessed you, I guarantee before long you'll be reaching for another slice of paper and then another and another. Because truly on any given day our cup runneth over. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then verse 17. And Ethan did just a very good job, and we appreciate him for doing the good job in the scripture reading in Philippians chapter 3 verses 1 through 3 as he talks about rejoice. And then again in Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 4. And Paul's writing to these Christians. And Christians were persecuted and had difficulties. And he tells them, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So I emphasize to us, rejoice in the Lord. Someone may say, why, preacher? What do I have as a child of God that I can rejoice? I've went through persecution. I've went through sickness. I've went through the loss of this, that, and the other. I don't have the best health. You tell me why I should rejoice. Well, number one, God said to rejoice. So we need to stop there and just think about it. God said so. And so whatever I need and however I need to get myself in a position to start doing some rejoicing, I better get there because God said rejoice evermore. But there are reasons to rejoice. And I'd like to look at about 10 or 11 reasons briefly why we ought to rejoice. First of all, I rejoice because of the Word of God. And I hope you do. The psalmist declared, Psalm 119 and in verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. When you think about spoil, think about the booty, the things that many times when nations were conquered in the Old Testament, as a result of that, God would tell his people, you take the spoil. Well, the psalmist declared, I rejoice at the word of God as one that findeth great spoil, great riches. It's akin to what is stated in Psalm 19, 7 through 10. When he talks about the statutes, the word of God can convert the soul. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. Moreover are they to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Psalm 19, 7 through 10. And so we got every reason to rejoice at the word of God. Think about what it does for us. And what miserable creatures we would be without the word of God. Now ye are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you, the Lord spoke to the apostles in John 15, 3. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. James 1, verse 21. We are purified as a result of the word of God. That is, when we believe it and we obey it. Psalm 19, 7 through 10, and all those other passages that talk about what God's word does. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it gives understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119. Verse 130 and 150. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They were trying to walk in darkness. I told you before about someone who left me at the top of a mountain one night in the dark and took off with the battery light. He's sitting in the audience. But you try to walk in darkness, you're not going to get far. If you do, you're going to stumble and fall. But that's what God's word does for us. It lights the way by which we can walk. And it'll be the standard of judgment come the last great day. But reasons to preacher, why should I rejoice? Young people are told, rejoice for the wife of thy youth. Ecclesiastes chapter, Proverbs rather, chapter 5 and then verse 18. I don't want to say a lot about marriage because there'll be an upcoming lesson on that. We just recently had one when Ray gave us some very good tips and scriptures about marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 22. And so rejoice at the wife of thy youth. Be thankful for your wife. I'm thankful for mine. And I hope you can say the same. But also rejoice for righteous leaders. I want to share with you a passage from the book of Proverbs concerning that. Proverbs chapter 29. And again, you know the gist of the book of Proverbs. It's a book of general rules of life. Yes, to rules there are often exceptions. But this is a book that just talks about life. And you read the book of Proverbs, and I assure you that you can relate. It's relatable to you because you're living, you're in this earth life. And that's what the book is about things of this life. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and in verse 2, he says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice." We have great cause of rejoicing when people are in a leadership position who are concerned about that which is right. And we need more of them. Not less of them, but more of them. The people rejoice, but, and this whole chapter is filled with contrast, that little word, but. All through the chapter, in chapter 29, he has all these various contrasts. And here's the contrast of verse 2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Now, a lot of people get their way and they elect unrighteous men as leaders. It gets a nation in trouble. And that's the truth regardless if it's in America or any other place, or regardless of the times that it's stated. God's Word says, when the righteous serve, then the people rejoice. In Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a rebuke unto any people. You want to lift a country up? Righteousness will do that. But sin will tear us down. It's a rebuke unto any people. So we need to rejoice as a result of righteous leaders. But also, preacher, why should I rejoice? How about doing some rejoicing because of the work and labor of your hands? Now that's one that needs to be qualified. And I'll do that in just a moment. But in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and in verse 19, and often he talks about the work of his hands and so forth. And yes, he does say that so many things are futile, are vanity, grasping at the wind. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and in verse 19, he says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." So you need to rejoice at the blessings that you have. Too many times we gripe and we grumble and complain over that which we do not have. How about some rejoicing for what we do have? You agree? It's the gift of God. And we need to understand in doing that, that it's God who gives. And ever think about the words of Job in Job 1, "Blessed the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." It all belongs to Him anyway. And if so be He allows me to have something, I want God not complain about it, but rejoice about it. And understand that I'm daily dependent upon God, not the strength of my hands, not my work that has resulted in it, but God has given it. Bless me with the means to be able to work and to labor and then to enjoy the fruit thereof. But to keep that in check, if you want some checks and balances, then we need to think about the very foolish farmer, rich man. In the book of Luke chapter 12 verses 16 through 21, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I've got so much stuff," to paraphrase it. We've got so much stuff in America, we go out and have to get one storage bin after another. One storage building after another. And all these storage facilities, places you can store your stuff, is popping up all over the place. And I'll tell you that too much stuff can sometimes get in the way of seeing your need for God. But the ground of this man brought forth plentifully. He said, "I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And there I will bestow my fruits, my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast plenty, laid up. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know what God's estimation of him was? "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall all these things be?" You're not going to take it with you. What I say to you, I say to me. There's not a thing I've got that I'm going to take with me. The older you get, the more you realize the important things in life. But also, we need to rejoice at the restored. In Luke 15, 1 through 10. You got three illustrations of that which was lost and found. The coin, the sheep, and the son. Luke 15, remember that. You'll always have a passage to talk about how important it is for that which is found to be, or that which is lost to be found. the presence of the angels in the presence of God rejoice when a sinner repenteth. And in the book of Galatians, as Mark is very ably and well pointed out in the book of Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also be tempted. But we need to do that and rejoice when one is restored. And I think about 2 Corinthians 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul had to write to these Christians and rebuke them because they had sin among them. And rather than deal with it, they were puffed up about it. He said, your glorying's not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And he told them they needed to deal with it. Well, they did deal with it. And we have Paul's divine commentary about the fact that they dealt with it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, I didn't write just to make you sorry, but it's led to the fruit of repentance. We need to rejoice when the lost are restored. I rejoice because of hope. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 2. Romans 5 and in verse 2. When Paul's writing to the saints at Rome. Verse 1 beginning says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Could you imagine having no hope? Those who die outside the Lord have no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And Paul tells those Christians, don't sorrow as you would for others which have no hope. Hope is in Christ. Hope is in the death of the righteous. They have hope. Not those who die out of the Lord. And we're saved by hope. For we are saved by hope. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 24. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul wrote in that great resurrection chapter of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. And the Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You want to keep yourself grounded like an anchor does a ship, you need to have hope. Rejoice as a result of hope. But also, number 7, we need to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Preacher, why should I rejoice? You need to rejoice with those who rejoice. And you need to mourn with those who mourn. It means you be concerned about other people. As you have so able, so over and over, overwhelmingly expressed in the last few days. And me and my brother and our family just really appreciate that. But rejoice with them that rejoice. And it goes both ways. Somebody mourns, mourn with them. Express concern you have. And we need to do that. Not only for me, I'm not asked for that, but for others as well. But when somebody rejoices, we need to be happy with them. Rejoice with them. Something goes good for someone, don't envy them. Don't get in a huff about it. But rejoice with them. And be thankful to God that your brethren has been blessed, because you have as well. That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, as well as 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 26 talks about rejoicing, being concerned about others. And again, all of us have been blessed. In 1 Corinthians 12, when the context of that is spiritual gifts, but he's talking about the body, he's talking about, though there is but one body, there are many members. And he says in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're encouraged by the encouragement of others. So rejoice with them that rejoice. But also we need to rejoice in time of temptation. Temptation's not easy. Nobody said that it is. And sometimes I may be tempted by something that you're not tempted by, that you'd have no problem with. And sometimes you may have a temptation that won't be a temptation for me. The Lord Himself was tempted, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4, and you read about His temptation in Matthew chapter 4. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, Peter is writing to those of like precious faith. or verse 6, 1 Peter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. That's what we're talking about, rejoicing. You greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You ought to underscore, in addition to thinking about rejoicing and manifold temptations, he says, but for a season, just for a while. Can we endure it for a while? This life is fleeting. And so he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. When I think about for a season, I automatically think about Hebrews 11 and what the Bible says about Moses. Could have had the riches of Egypt. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And you can't help but think about James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But if patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. James chapter 1, verses 3 and following. So we need to rejoice even when we have temptation, knowing that there's a benefit for it, that we'll come out, if we don't succumb to it, that we'll come out on the other side stronger, more formidable as servants of God. But also we need to rejoice because of humility. Be humble. In James chapter 1 and in verse 9, a lot of passages in the Bible talk about being humble. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. Let God, by the way, lift us up. Preacher, how you know that? Well, notice what he says in chapter 4. And then verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You do the humbling, and God will lift you up. So rejoice because of humility. But also rejoice. Philippians chapter 2 and then verse 16 gives us another thing that we can rejoice because of. Philippians chapter 2 and then verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Jesus is coming soon, whether morning, night, or noon. I don't know when he's coming, and you don't either. But I rejoice in the day of Christ, in the day of him returning. I anticipate that, and I know that you do as well. And to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews chapter 9 and then verse 28. Are you ready for the return of Christ? The day of Christ? For the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 9. He will come again. Lastly, I want us to think about, rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, the Lord told the disciples in Matthew 5 and then verse 12, as well as Luke and then chapter 6 and verse 23, where he says, leap for joy. Rejoice. No matter what you go through or what people put you through, you rejoice because you know that others have been persecuted too, and great is your reward in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 4, last passage that we'll turn to, 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 13, Peter writes, but rejoice. Let's go back to verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Is your reward in heaven? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Have you obeyed the gospel? Don't you want to be able to rejoice in these things we've talked about? You have to be in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Same thing they did in Bible days. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing it. John 8, 24, repenting of your sins, without which will perish, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32. And be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2 and then verse 38. If you're here this morning, you have done that, but you've not been faithful as you should and turned your back on the Lord, went out in the ways of the world, but you want to come home. You want to be restored. And once again, be right in the sight of the Lord. He's made provision for that. 1 John 1, 9 and Acts 8. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.